Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
A Werewolf Romance, written by Lillian Gerard. Prologue. My pack killed me. They were supposed to be my family, to protect me, but they sacrificed me to save their lives because there was no one to defend me, no one to stand for me. They took advantage of an orphan whose parents died a few years ago. The day I died. The last thing I remember before I died was the smell. Not pain, not fear, though both were there, sharp and overwhelming. But the smell, wet stone and burning sage, and my own terror, acrid and sour in the back of my throat. I was 10 years old the day my pack sacrificed me to save themselves. 10 years old when they bound my wrists with rough hemp rope that cut into my skin. When they walked me up the sacred mountain in the dark, their torches casting shadows that looked like monsters. When they laid me on the altar stone, cold, so cold beneath my back, and spoke words I didn't understand. I remember crying for my mother, even though she'd been dead for 4 years. I remember the Alpha's son, Derek, 15 years old with kind eyes, trying to stop it. His father hitting him so hard he fell, telling him this was necessary, that one life to save 500 was mercy, not murder. I remember understanding, in that horrible moment of clarity that comes right before the end, that I was going to die, and that no one was coming to save me. I remember the knife. My name is Ren Ashwood, and I am the girl they killed to appease a curse. The moon goddess brought me back. Not as the frightened orphan Omega they threw away, but as something they could never have imagined. This is the story of how I died at 10 years old, and how I returned at 17 to face the pack that murdered me. But more than that, this is the story of Derek, the boy who tried to save me and failed. The man who's been haunted by that failure every day since. The Alpha, who never took a mate because his heart belonged to a dead girl. This is the story of how death couldn't kill love, and how sometimes the most broken people are the only ones who can heal each other. Let me take you back to the beginning, to the day I learned that being nobody means you're expendable, to my last birthday, to the day I turned 10. Chapter 1. The Orphan. I woke up on my 10th birthday to the sound of bells. Not happy bells, not celebration bells. The warning bells. The ones that meant danger was coming. I sat up fast in my cot, a thin mattress on the floor of the servants' quarters, where the pack kept the orphans and unwanted wolves. 6 of us crammed into a room meant for 2, sleeping on floors, sharing threadbare blankets. "What's happening?" Clara whispered from her cot across from mine. She was 12, an Omega like me, but at least she had an aunt who sent her food sometimes. I had no one. "I don't know," I said. But I was lying. I did know. Or at least I had a terrible feeling in my stomach that told me something bad was about to happen. The door slammed open. Elder Freya stood there, her face hard as the stone altar on the sacred mountain. Behind her, two pack warriors. "Wren Ashwood," she said, and her voice was flat, empty of anything warm. "Come with us." My heart started hammering. Why? What did I do? Now. The warriors grabbed me before I could protest, their hands rough on my thin arms. I was small for my age, all the orphans were, from not getting enough food, and they lifted me like I weighed nothing. "No, wait, I didn't do anything wrong." I twisted, trying to get free, my bare feet kicking uselessly. "Please, I'll be good. I promise I'll..." "This isn't a punishment, child," Elder Freya said, though her tone suggested otherwise. "This is an honor. You've been chosen." Chosen. The word sent ice through my veins. Last month, they'd gathered all the orphaned Omega children in the pack. There were 11 of us, and Elder Freya had walked among us, touching our foreheads, muttering words in the old language. She'd been choosing. I'd hoped desperately that she wouldn't pick me, that maybe she'd choose someone else, someone stronger, someone... But I'd known. Even then, I'd known it would be me, because I was the most expendable, the most nobody. My parents had died when I was 6, killed by rogues during a border patrol. The pack took me in because that's what packs did, legally, but they made sure I earned my keep. From age 6 to 10, I'd worked. Scrubbed floors, hauled water, served meals to wolves who never looked at me, never knew my name. I was a ghost in my own pack. The perfect sacrifice. They dragged me through the pack house, and I saw other wolves watching from doorways. Some looked away. Some looked sad. None of them stopped it. In the grand hall, Alpha Magnus sat in his carved wooden throne. He was a big man, gray threading through his dark hair, his eyes hard and cold. Next to him stood his son, Derek. He was 15, tall for his age, with black hair and unusual gray eyes that always seemed sad. He was kind to me, one of the only wolves who was. Sometimes he'd sneak me extra food from the Alpha's table. Once he'd given me his cloak when he found me shivering in the rain. He was good. And right now he looked horrified. "Father, please," Derek was saying, his voice desperate. "There has to be another way. She's just a child." She's Omega," Alpha Magnus interrupted. "Orphaned. No family to object. No particular skills. Weak. She's perfect for the ritual." "The curse can be appeased another way. We can offer. Wolves have died, Derek." The Alpha's voice was hard. 12 in the past month. The curse is accelerating. Elder Freya's vision was clear. Only the sacrifice of an innocent Omega child will satisfy the ancient pact and break the curse. Would you have me let the entire pack perish to save one worthless orphan? Worthless. The word hit me like a physical blow. I'd always known that's what they thought of me. But hearing it said out loud by the Alpha himself made something inside me crack. "She's not worthless," Derek said, and his voice shook with rage. "She's a person. Her name is Wren. She likes to draw pictures in the dirt when she thinks no one's watching. She hums when she works. She's brave and kind, and she deserves to live." He'd noticed me, all those things I thought no one saw. He'd seen them. Tears burned in my eyes. "Your sentimentality will not serve you as Alpha," Magnus said coldly. "One day you'll have to make hard choices to protect the pack. This is one of them. The girl dies tonight, at midnight, on the sacred mountain. The curse will break. The pack will be saved. That is the end of it." "No." Derek moved toward me, but warriors blocked him. "You can't. I won't let you." "You don't have a choice, son. Neither do I. The pack's survival comes first. Always." Magnus nodded to the warriors. "Take her to the preparation chamber. Elder Freya, perform the cleansing ritual. At midnight, we climb the mountain." They started dragging me away. I looked back at Derek. He was fighting the warriors holding him, his face twisted in anguish, and our eyes met. "I'm sorry," he mouthed. "I'm so sorry." Then they pulled me around a corner, and he was gone. Chapter 2. Preparation. The preparation chamber was a small stone room beneath the pack house. Cold, dark except for candles. It smelled like sage and fear. Elder Freya was there, along with two older Omega women whose job was to prepare me for the ritual. They stripped off my threadbare dress and put me in a white ceremonial gown. Soft fabric, prettier than anything I'd ever worn. It would have been beautiful if it wasn't a death shroud. "Why me?" I asked Elder Freya, my voice small. "What did I do wrong?" "You did nothing wrong, child," she said, not unkindly, which somehow made it worse. "You were simply born at the right time, to the right designation, with the right expendability. The ancient curse requires specific sacrifice. Innocent, young, Omega, orphaned. You fulfill all the requirements." "But I don't want to die," I whispered. "None of us want to die," Freya said. "But sometimes death serves a greater purpose. Your death will save 500 lives. Mothers, children, warriors. Your sacrifice will be remembered, honored." "I don't want to be honored," I said, tears streaming down my face now. "I want to live. I want to grow up. I want..." My voice broke. "I want someone to love me." Freya's expression flickered. For just a moment, I saw something like regret in her eyes. But then it was gone. "The goddess will love you," she said quietly. "In death, you'll know peace. More peace than you ever knew in this life." She was probably right about that. My life had been cold floors, and empty stomachs and loneliness so deep it felt like drowning. But I still didn't want it to end. They painted symbols on my skin with ash mixed with herbs, washed my hair with sacred water, bound my wrists with the hemp rope that would hold me to the altar. Through it all, I cried. Quietly, because crying loudly had been beaten out of me years ago. But the tears wouldn't stop.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I wanted my mother. I wanted her so badly, it hurt worse than anything physical. She used to sing to me, before the rogues killed her, before I became an orphan, before I learned what it meant to be nobody. I tried to remember the songs now, tried to hear her voice in my head, but all I could hear was my own ragged breathing and the sound of Elder Freya chanting preparation prayers. Time moved strangely, too fast and too slow at once. The candles burned down. The sun set outside. And then, midnight. The warriors came for me. Chapter 3. The Mountain. They walked me up the sacred mountain in a procession lit by torches. Alpha Magnus led, then Elder Freya, then me, with a warrior on each side gripping my bound arms. Behind us, the entire pack followed. 500 wolves, silent except for the sound of feet on stone and my own quiet sobbing. This was meant to be witnessed. My death would be a pack memory, something they'd talk about for generations. Remember when we sacrificed little Wren Ashwood to break the curse? I'd be a story, not a person. A cautionary tale or a moment of pack history, but not someone who mattered. The mountain path was steep. My feet, bare because the ritual required it, were cut and bleeding within minutes. But we didn't stop. Couldn't stop. The curse wouldn't wait. Halfway up, I heard a commotion behind us. "Let me through. Father, please!" Derek. He was fighting his way through the crowd, trying to reach the front. Trying to reach me. Alpha Magnus stopped walking. Turned. "Derek, this is not the time." "You can't do this," Derek's voice cracked. "There has to be another way. We haven't tried everything.
We could what?"
Magnus roared.
"What other option do you see, boy? 12 are dead. More dying. The seers confirmed. Only this sacrifice will work. Only her blood on that altar will break the ancient pact. Would you condemn our people to save one child? She's innocent. So are the children who'll die if the curse continues." Magnus grabbed Derek's shoulder hard. "I know this is difficult. I know it feels wrong. But leadership requires sacrifice. Sometimes we must choose the lesser evil. Her life for 500. That is the choice. And I have made it." "Then you're a monster," Derek said, tears streaming down his face. Magnus hit him. Not a slap. A full punch that sent Derek sprawling onto the stone path, blood streaming from his split lip. "You will learn respect," Magnus said coldly, "and you will learn that sentiment has no place in an alpha's heart. Now move, or I'll have you restrained alongside the sacrifice." Derek got up slowly, swaying. Our eyes met again. I saw my own helplessness reflected in his face. He wanted to save me. But he was a boy, and his father was Alpha, and there was nothing either of us could do. "I'm sorry," I whispered, even though he couldn't hear me from that distance. "It's not your fault." We reached the summit as the full moon rose over the mountain peak. The altar was there, ancient stone, carved with symbols I didn't understand. Dark stains marked its surface. Old blood. From other sacrifices? Other children who died on this stone? I started shaking uncontrollably. "Please," I begged, though I didn't know who I was begging anymore. The Alpha? The Goddess? Anyone who might listen? "Please, I don't want to die. Please." "Lay her down," Magnus commanded. The warriors forced me onto the altar. The stone was so cold it burned. They stretched my arms above my head, tied the ropes to iron rings embedded in the stone. I pulled against them, panicking now, my child's mind finally understanding fully that this was real. This was happening. I was going to die. "Mama," I sobbed. "Mama, please. Mama, I'm scared." But Mama was dead. 4 years dead. And I was alone. Elder Freya began chanting in the old language. The pack formed a circle around the altar, and Alpha Magnus pulled out the ceremonial knife. It was beautiful, in a terrible way. Silver blade. Handle carved from moonstone. Ancient. Sacred. The knife that would kill me. "Wait," a voice said. Derek stumbled forward, blood still dripping from his lip. "At least..." His voice cracked. "At least, let me say goodbye.
Please, Father, please. Magnus hesitated, then nodded curtly. 1 minute. Derek approached the altar, knelt beside it so his face was level with mine. I'm sorry, he whispered. I tried, I swear I tried. I've been trying to change his mind for weeks, but I know, I whispered back. It's okay. It's not okay. None of this is okay. You deserve to live. You deserve to grow up and be happy and... He was crying openly now. You deserve everything. And I failed you. You're the only one who ever saw me, I told him. My voice was surprisingly steady now. Maybe I'd cried so much there were no tears left. The only one who was kind. That matters. You matter. So do you, he said fiercely. Your life matters, Ren. I won't forget you. I swear. I'll remember you existed. I'll remember your name. Thank you, I whispered. He touched my cheek gently, and even through the terror, I felt it. A tiny spark. A connection. Something that said you're not alone. Time, Magnus said. Derek stood, stepped back, his face destroyed. Elder Freya's chanting grew louder. Magnus raised the knife, and I closed my eyes. The last thing I remember is thinking, this is how it ends. Alone on a stone altar, surrounded by people who never loved me, dying to save people who never cared, the knife came down. I felt the blade pierce my chest, felt my heart stop, felt my soul leave my body, and then light. Not the light of death, peaceful and welcoming. This was rage, silver light, burning and furious and impossibly bright. The last thing I heard before everything went dark was a voice, ancient, powerful, and absolutely livid. What have you done? Chapter 4. Death and Divinity. I woke up not dead. That was the first shock. The second shock was where I woke up. Not on the mountain. Not on the altar. But somewhere else entirely. Somewhere that didn't quite exist in the normal world. I was lying on something soft. Grass? But it was silver, glowing faintly with its own light. Above me, stars wheeled in patterns that made no sense, constellations that formed and reformed like living things. And the moon? The moon was huge. Impossibly huge. Close enough to touch, it seemed, hanging in a sky that was somehow night and day at once. Hello, little one. I sat up fast, my hand going to my chest where the knife had. There was no wound, no blood. Just my white ceremonial dress, clean and whole. A woman stood before me. No, not a woman. Something far older, far more powerful. She was tall and ethereal, her hair silver like moonlight, her eyes deep as the night sky. She wore robes that seemed to be made from starlight itself, flowing and shifting like water. I knew who she was immediately. Every wolf knew the stories. The moon goddess. I should have bowed, should have shown respect. But I was 10 years old and I'd just been murdered. So instead I said, "Am I dead?" "Yes," she said gently. "And no, that doesn't make sense. Most things about death don't, child. You died. Your heart stopped. Your soul left your body. In the mortal world, you are dead. But here," she gestured at the impossible landscape around us. "Here, you are very much alive." "Why?" I asked. "Why am I here? I'm nobody. Just an orphan they killed. Why would I interfere?" The goddess's expression hardened. "Because what they did to you was an abomination. A perversion of everything sacred. and I will not stand by while children are murdered in my name. The curse, there was no curse, she said, and her voice rang with anger. Not the kind they thought. The curse killing your pack was a disease, a sickness that could have been cured with proper medicine and care. But your alpha was lazy. Your seers were corrupt. They wanted an easy answer, a quick fix. So they manufactured a prophecy that required a sacrifice, convinced themselves it was divine will, made murder seem noble. The words hit me like a physical blow. There was no curse. I died for nothing. They killed me for no reason, I whispered. They killed you because it was convenient, the goddess said, her voice gentler now. Because you were nobody. Because sacrifice is easier when the victim doesn't matter to anyone. Because she knelt beside me, her hand cupping my cheek. Because the world is full of people who will sacrifice the innocent to save themselves. And that is something I cannot tolerate. So what happens now? I asked. Do I stay here? That depends, she said. On you. On me? I can offer you peace, child. Eternal rest. No more pain. No more loneliness. No more suffering. You would sleep in my arms until the stars burn out. You would know only love and comfort and belonging. Many souls choose that path. And after what you've endured, you've earned it. It sounded wonderful. After 10 years of cold floors and empty stomachs and not being loved, eternal peace sounded like the greatest gift imaginable. But something in me hesitated. Or? I asked. The goddess smiled, sad but proud. Or you could return, changed, stronger. With my blessing and my power, you could go back to the pack that killed you and show them what they threw away. You could become what they feared most, an Omega with divine authority. A nobody who becomes everything. The weakest wolf made strongest. Why would I do that? I asked. They hate me. They killed me. Why would I go back? Because they will kill others, the goddess said quietly. Because this wasn't the first sacrifice they've made. It won't be the last. Because systems built on cruelty perpetuate themselves until someone strong enough breaks them. And because her eyes held mine. Because there is a boy down there who tried to save you, who is drowning in guilt for failing, who deserves to know that his kindness mattered, that you lived. Derek, he's suffering, I said. Terribly, the goddess confirmed. He's been at your grave every day, hasn't eaten, barely speaks. His father is furious with him for mourning an expendable Omega. But Derek doesn't care. He loved you, in his way. Innocent love. Pure. And he will carry your death for the rest of his life unless you show him differently. How long would I have to stay here? If I choose to return? 7 years, she said. 7 years to train you. To teach you what it means to wield divine power. To make you strong enough to face them. You'll return at 17, still young, but old enough to challenge the system that destroyed you. Old enough to make them kneel. 7 years. 7 years away from everything. Everyone I'd ever known. But what had I really known? Cold and hunger and loneliness? At least here, the goddess was kind. Here, I wasn't nobody. If I return, I said slowly. Will I be able to save others? Stop more sacrifices? Yes. Will I be able to make them understand what they did was wrong? If you're strong enough, if you're wise enough, if you're merciful enough to teach instead of simply punish. Merciful? After they killed me? That seemed impossible. But then I thought of Derek's face, the tears, the genuine anguish. Not everyone in that pack had wanted me dead. Some had just been too afraid to stop it. "Okay," I said. "I'll go back. In 7 years. But..." I looked at the goddess. "I don't want to be like them. I don't want to become cruel because they were cruel to me. Can you help me with that? Can you teach me to be strong, but not... mean?" The goddess pulled me into her arms. For the first time in 4 years since my mother died, I felt truly, completely safe. "Oh, little one," she whispered. "You're already stronger than they could ever be. Because you understand something they don't. That real strength isn't about dominance. It's about choosing mercy when you have every right to choose vengeance. I will teach you power, yes. But more importantly, I'll teach you wisdom. And when you return, you won't be a monster." "What will I be?" She smiled. "Their queen." Chapter 5. 7 years' time moved differently in the goddess's realm. 7 years passed, but they felt like both a moment and an eternity. Days had no real meaning when the sun never fully rose or set. But I learned. I grew. I became something new. The goddess taught me everything. She taught me about wolf history. The real history, not the sanitized version Pax taught. About how Luna queens used to rule alongside alphas, providing balance. About how power without wisdom leads to cruelty. About how the strong have a duty to protect the weak, not exploit them. She taught me to fight. Not with claws and teeth like warriors, but with something more powerful. She taught me to command with divine authority. To heal with a touch. To sense truth and lies. To see into hearts and understand motivations. But most importantly, she taught me compassion. "You have every right to be angry," she told me one day, as we walked through silver meadows that existed nowhere and everywhere at once. "They murdered you. That rage is valid. But rage without direction becomes cruelty. And I won't send you back as a weapon of vengeance. I'm sending you back as an agent of change." "How do I change people who don't want to change?" I asked. I was 13 by then, or would have been in the mortal world. Taller, stronger, but still carrying the wound of that 10-year-old who'd died scared and alone. "You show them a better way," the goddess said. "Not through force. Through example. You lead with the kind of strength they don't understand. The strength of mercy. Of healing, of building up instead of tearing down. Some will follow, some won't. But you plant seeds, and eventually, those seeds grow. What about Alpha Magnus? Elder Freya? The ones who killed me? What about them?" The goddess's eyes held mine. "What do you want to do to them, Ren?" I thought about that. For years, I'd thought about that. In the beginning, I'd wanted them to suffer the way I'd suffered. To feel the fear, the helplessness, the terrible knowledge that you're about to die, and no one cares enough to stop it. But as time passed, as I learned and grew, that desire faded. Not completely. The hurt was still there, but it was tempered now by understanding. "I want them to know they were wrong," I said slowly. "I want them to face what they did, to understand the weight of it." But, I hesitated. "I don't want to become like them. If I kill them for killing me, how am I different?" The goddess smiled. "You're learning." "Good. Punishment can be justice, but only when it serves a purpose beyond satisfaction. Only when it protects future victims and transforms perpetrators. Revenge is empty. Justice is meaningful. Remember that distinction." By year 5, I was shifting. My wolf, dormant at 10, finally emerged, and she was beautiful, Silver. Pure silver, like moonlight given form. Larger than a normal wolf. Stronger. Faster. With eyes that glowed the same ethereal blue as the goddess herself. A divine wolf. A Luna wolf. The first in centuries. "You're ready," the goddess said when I shifted back to human form, breathless and exhilarated. "Almost ready. 2 more years of training and you'll return." "What if I fail?" I asked. "What if I go back and I can't change anything?" "Then you'll have tried," she said simply. "And trying matters. But Ren," she gripped my shoulders, "you won't fail. Because you have something they don't have. Something they threw away when they killed that innocent child." "What?" "A reason to fight that isn't about yourself. You're going back for every orphan who's been exploited. Every Omega who's been called worthless. Every child who's been sacrificed to convenient lies. You're going back to break a system that's been broken for centuries. That purpose will make you unstoppable. In year 7, as my 17th birthday approached, 7 years since my death, the goddess summoned me to the heart of her realm. The moon hung impossibly close, and beneath it a pool of liquid silver light. 'It's time,' she said. My heart raced. 7 years. 7 years of safety and learning and being loved by the goddess herself. Part of me didn't want to leave, but a larger part of me was ready. Ready to face them. Ready to show them what they'd done. Ready to become what the goddess had shaped me to be. "Will I remember everything?" I asked. "The pain? The fear?" "Yes," the goddess said. "I won't take your memories. They're part of you. Part of what makes you strong. But I will give you something else." She reached out and touched my chest, right over my heart, where the knife had pierced. Light flooded through me. Not painful, just overwhelming. Power beyond anything I'd felt before, even in 7 years of training. "My blessing," she said. "Divine authority. The ability to command any wolf, regardless of rank. The ability to heal or harm with a touch. Immortality, unless you choose otherwise. The power to grant or revoke the gift of shifting. Everything you need to challenge a corrupt system and win." "That's too much power," I whispered. "It's exactly enough power," she corrected. "Because you won't abuse it. I've trained you, I know your heart. You'll use this power justly, and when you're tired, when the weight becomes too heavy, I'll still be here. Watching. Guiding. You're never alone again, Ren. Even when you can't see me, I'm with you." Tears streamed down my face. "Thank you. For everything. For saving me. For teaching me. For seeing you," she finished. "For knowing your worth when no one else did. You're welcome, little one. Now," she gestured toward the pool of silver light. "Step into the light. Return to the mortal world. Return to your pack. And show them what mercy looks like when it wears a crown." I stepped forward. The light enveloped me, and I heard the goddess's final words. "Remember, Ren. You died a victim, but you return as a queen. Make them understand the difference." Then everything was light and sound and sensation, and I was falling through layers of reality, falling back toward the mountain, the altar, the place where I died, back to the pack that murdered me, back to face Derek who'd tried to save me and failed, back to show them all that death wasn't the end, it was the beginning.
Chapter 6. 7 years later, Derek's POV. I was at Ren's grave when she came back from the dead. 7 years. 7 years since they'd killed her. Since I'd watched my father drive a knife into a 10-year-old child's chest. Since I'd failed to stop it. 7 years of living with that failure. I came to her grave every day, a small stone marker at the base of the sacred mountain, not even on the summit because that was too holy. They'd buried her like she was nothing. An afterthought. "Happy birthday, Wren," I said quietly, kneeling by the stone. "You'd be 17 today, if you'd lived." Would she have shifted by now? Would her wolf have been beautiful? Would she have found a mate, had a family, known happiness? I'd never know, because my father had killed her, and I'd been too weak to stop it. "I'm alpha now," I told the stone. The wind carried my words away, but I kept talking anyway. I always did. "Father died 2 years ago. Heart gave out. Elder Freya says it was the goddess's judgment for the false sacrifice. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe the goddess was angry that they killed you for nothing. The false sacrifice. We'd learned the truth 6 months after Wren's death. The curse had been a disease. Curable. But by then, 12 had died. Including Wren. Murdered for a lie. The guilt had consumed my father until his body gave out. And now the guilt was mine to carry, along with the alpha position I'd never wanted. I haven't taken a mate," I continued. "The elders are furious, say I need to produce an heir. But how can I? How can I bond with someone when..." My voice broke. "When the only person I've ever loved is dead. I'd loved her. Even at 15, even when she was just 10, I'd loved her. Not romantically, she'd been a child, but deeply, purely, the way you love someone who represents everything good in the world, someone innocent and kind and deserving of protection. I'd failed to protect her, and that failure had defined every moment of the 7 years since. I'm sorry," I whispered, pressing my hand against the cold stone. "I'm so sorry. Every day, I'm sorry." The wind picked up suddenly, unnaturally, carrying a scent that made my wolf rise in confusion. Power, ancient power, and something else. Something that smelled like moonlight and starlight and... Wren. Impossible. I stood, my heart hammering, and turned toward the sacred mountain. A figure stood at the summit, backlit by the full moon, so I couldn't see details. Just a silhouette. Small. Female. Then she started walking down the mountain path. Toward me. My wolf was going insane, howling inside my mind. Mate, mate, mate. But that was impossible. I'd never felt the mate pull before. Never. The figure stepped into the moonlight fully, and I saw her face. My heart stopped. It couldn't be. She was dead. I'd watched her die. I'd carried her small, broken body down the mountain myself. I'd buried her. But there she was. Wren. Not the 10-year-old child I remembered. 17 now. Tall and graceful where she'd been small and fragile. Her hair, once mousy brown, now shot through with silver streaks that caught the moonlight. Her eyes, once brown, now glowed with an otherworldly blue light. And she was beautiful. Devastatingly beautiful. But it was her. I knew it was her. I could see traces of that child in her face, in the way she held herself. "Hello, Derek," she said. And her voice was exactly as I remembered it, soft, gentle, but now carrying an authority that made my alpha wolf want to submit. "You're dead," I said. My voice sounded strangled. "You're dead. I buried you. You can't be. I died," she said simply. 7 years ago, your father murdered me on that altar. But the moon goddess brought me back, trained me, made me what I am now. And I've returned to fulfill a promise." "What promise?" Her smile was sad, beautiful and terrible at once. "That death wouldn't be the end. That I'd come back. That I'd show all of you what you threw away when you killed an innocent child." She was 20 feet away now, close enough that I could see the silver glow emanating from her skin, could feel the divine power rolling off her in waves. This wasn't just Wren. This was something more, something divine. "Are you a ghost?" I asked. "No, I'm very much alive. Touch me if you don't believe me." She held out her hand, I moved forward like a puppet on strings, my body obeying before my mind could process. When my fingers brushed hers, the mate bond slammed into place with enough force to drive me to my knees. Mate, she's our mate. She's alive. She's... You're my mate, I gasped. But you were 10. The bond shouldn't have... I was too young to feel it then, Ren said quietly. But you weren't. Part of you recognized me even then. Why else did you try so hard to save me? Why else have you grieved for 7 years? Because I loved you, I said, tears streaming down my face now. Because you were good and innocent, and you deserve to live. Because watching you die destroyed me. Because I've been broken ever since. Because I couldn't breathe. Because I failed you. She knelt down so we were eye level, reached out and gently wiped the tears from my face. You didn't fail me, she said. You were 15. Your father was Alpha. You had no power. You tried. That mattered. That's always mattered. But you still died. Yes, she agreed. I died. And it was terrible. I was so scared, Derek. I called for my mother. I cried, and the pain. She touched her chest, right where the knife had gone in. The pain was worse than anything I could have imagined. Your father killed me. And I died alone, and frightened, and unloved. Each word was a knife in my chest. But then, she continued, the goddess caught me, saved me, taught me, loved me, showed me I had worth even when everyone else said I didn't. And she sent me back, not for revenge, but for justice, for change, for all the other Wrens in the world who deserve better than being sacrificed to convenient lies. What are you? I asked. I'm what your pack needs, she said. A Luna Queen. Divine authority returned to the wolf world. The balance your people lost when they started prioritizing strength over wisdom. I'm mercy, and judgment, and everything in between. She stood, pulling me to my feet with her. Come with me, she said. Back to the pack house. It's time they learned that murder has consequences. Even when the victim was just an orphan. Even when the sacrifice was necessary, even when it seemed like nobody would care. They'll try to hurt you again, I said. Elder Freya, the council, they won't accept, they don't have a choice, Ren said, and her voice rang with divine authority. I am Luna Queen, chosen by the moon goddess herself. They will bow, or they will face judgment. Now, she looked at me. Are you with me? Or are you still your father's son? It wasn't really a question. It was a test. And I'd already failed her once. I wouldn't fail her again. I'm with you, I said. Always. I should have been with you 7 years ago. I won't make that mistake again. She smiled then. A real smile. The first I'd seen since she appeared. Good, she said. Because I'm going to need an alpha who understands that strength means protecting the vulnerable. And you've proven you understand that. Even if you couldn't act on it before, you understood it. That's why the goddess chose you as my mate. That's why we're meant to do this together. Mate. The word sent warmth through my chest despite everything. She was alive. My mate was alive. And I was going to spend every day of the rest of my life making up for failing to save her the first time. Let's go, I said. Let's show them what they created when they murdered you. Together, we walked toward the pack house, and I knew, with absolute certainty, that nothing would ever be the same again.
Chapter 7. Judgment Ren's POV. The pack house looked exactly as I remembered it. Imposing. Stone and wood. Built to project power and permanence. The Alpha's residence on the hill overlooking the pack lands, with the servants' quarters hidden in back where no one had to see them. Where I'd lived for 4 years. Where I'd scrubbed floors and gone hungry and been invisible. Walking toward it now, with divine power flowing through me and Derek at my side, felt surreal. 7 years ago, I'd been dragged out of this building to die. Now I was returning to demand justice. It's the middle of the night, Derek said. Most of the pack will be sleeping. Then wake them, I said.
All of them. I want everyone assembled in the Great Hall. Everyone who was there that night. Everyone who watched and did nothing. Everyone who convinced themselves my death was acceptable. Derek nodded and closed his eyes. I felt him push out through the pack bonds, Alpha Command, reaching every wolf in the territory simultaneously. Great Hall. Now. Alpha summons. No exceptions. Within minutes, lights were flickering on across the pack lands. Wolves emerged from their homes, confused and irritated at being woken, but unable to disobey the Alpha Command. They filed into the Great Hall in various states of dress, some in pajamas, some hastily throwing on clothes, muttering to each other, wondering what could be so urgent that the Alpha called everyone at 2 a.m. Elder Freya was one of the first to arrive, her face tight with disapproval. Alpha Derek, what is the meaning of this? It's the middle of the... She stopped mid-sentence. Seeing me standing at Derek's side, her face went white. That's impossible, she breathed. You're dead. I watched you die. We buried you. You murdered me, I corrected gently. There's a difference. Other pack members were noticing now. Gasps spreading through the crowd. Wolves backing away, some in fear, some in confusion. Is that... It can't be... Ren Ashwood? But she's... Dead! Elder Freya's voice cracked. She's dead! This is some trick, some imposter trying to... I am Ren Ashwood, I said, and let divine power flow into my voice. Everyone in the room felt it. The weight of authority that transcended Alpha Command. I am the orphan Omega you sacrificed 7 years ago. The child you murdered to break a curse that never existed. The 10-year-old whose blood you spilled on the sacred altar while telling yourselves it was necessary. I died, and the moon goddess brought me back. Now I've returned to deliver judgment. The hall erupted into chaos. Wolves shouting over each other, some calling me a liar. Some dropping to their knees in terror. Some trying to flee. Silence, I commanded, putting divine authority behind the word. Every wolf in the hall froze. Mouths snapping shut mid-sentence. Bodies locking in place. Unable to disobey. This was Luna Command. Divine authority. Something they hadn't seen in centuries. And they felt it now. You will listen, I said, my voice carrying to every corner of the hall. 7 years ago, you killed me. You tied me to an altar. You drove a knife through my heart. And as I died, you told yourselves it was noble. Necessary. That one life to save 500 was a mercy. Not a murder. I walked through the frozen crowd, looking at faces I remembered. Wolves who'd never spoken to me when I was alive, who'd walked past me in the halls like I was furniture. But there was no curse, I continued. Elder Freya, you knew that, didn't you? Freya's eyes widened in terror. Answer me, I commanded. Did you know the curse was actually a disease, curable with medicine and time? Freya's voice cracked. I suspected. But the vision... You had no vision, I said flatly. You manufactured a prophecy because Alpha Magnus wanted a quick solution. Because treating a disease required time and resources. Because it was easier to kill one worthless orphan than to actually solve the problem. So you lied. Called it divine will. Made murder seem sacred. The pack was staring at Freya now. Horror and fury mixing on their faces. Is that true? Someone called out. Did you lie about the prophecy? The child had to die, Freya said desperately. The pack was dying. Wolves were sick, I interrupted. From contaminated water. It took 6 months after my death for the pack doctor to figure it out. 6 months, If you'd spent the time investigating instead of looking for sacrifices, you would have found the source. Would have saved everyone without killing me. But you didn't. Because I was convenient. Because I was nobody. I stopped in front of Magnus's empty throne. Derek had moved his alpha seat to a different room, unable to sit where his father had ordered a child's murder. "Alpha Magnus is dead," I said. "The goddess took her own revenge there. But the rest of you are alive. All of you who watched, who did nothing, who convinced yourselves my death was acceptable because I was just an orphan Omega." I turned to face them fully. "I've returned to show you what you threw away," I said. "To teach you that every life has value. That convenience doesn't justify murder. That nobody is actually somebody. And to ensure that what happened to me never happens to another child again." "What do you want?" Elder Freya asked, her voice shaking. "Revenge? To kill us all?" "No," I said simply. "I want reform. I want laws protecting orphans, ensuring they're valued, not exploited. I want the Elder Council dissolved and rebuilt with Lunas and Omegas represented, not just Alphas. I want this pack to remember that the Moon Goddess values mercy over power. And I looked at Derek, I want to work with the Alpha who tried to save me 7 years ago. The one whose kindness mattered even when it couldn't stop what happened. Together, we'll rebuild this pack into something the goddess can be proud of." "You expect us to just accept this?" someone called out. "To bow to a dead girl who came back with impossible power?" "Yes," I said. "Because I am Luna Queen. Chosen by the goddess herself. You can accept it gracefully, or you can resist and face divine judgment. Your choice." To demonstrate, I held out my hand. Light gathered in my palm. Silver, bright, undeniable. "I can heal or harm," I said quietly. "Grant the gift of shifting or revoke it. Command any wolf regardless of rank. See truth and lies. The goddess gave me everything I need to fix what's broken in the wolf world. Starting with this pack. So I'll ask one more time." I looked at each of them. "Will you accept divine authority? Will you reform? Or will you cling to the old ways that made my murder seem reasonable?" One by one, wolves dropped to their knees. Not because I commanded it. Because they chose it. Some out of fear. Some out of guilt. Some because they genuinely believed this was right. Elder Freya was the last to kneel, tears streaming down her weathered face. "I'm sorry," she whispered. "I'm so sorry. You were just a child. And I convinced myself. You convinced yourself it was necessary," I finished. "I know. And that's what we're going to change. The belief that some lives matter less. That necessity justifies cruelty. That the ends justify the means." I released my command, and the pack could move again. "Derek is your Alpha," I said. "I am your Luna Queen. Together we will lead you. Not with fear, with wisdom, with the balance the goddess intended. Those who support reform will be welcomed. Those who resist..." I let divine light flare around me again. "We'll learn that mercy has limits." The pack bowed, and I knew. This was just the beginning. 7 years I'd trained for this. 7 years of learning power and wisdom and compassion. Now came the hard part. Actually changing hearts. Actually fixing a system that had been broken for generations. Actually proving that the nobody they'd killed could become the somebody who saved them all.
Chapter 8. The first days, Derek's POV. The days following Ren's return were chaos. Some wolves accepted her immediately, especially the Omegas, the Orphans, the ones who'd been invisible like she'd been. They saw her as salvation. Proof that the forgotten mattered. Others resisted. Quietly, because openly defying divine authority seemed unwise. But I could feel it through the pack bonds. Resentment, fear, the uncomfortable awareness that Ren's existence meant they had to confront what they'd done. And then there was me, caught between overwhelming joy that she was alive and crushing guilt that she'd died at all. The mate bond didn't help. It sang between us constantly, a pull so strong it was physically painful when we were apart. My wolf wanted to claim her, mark her, keep her close every second. But how could I? She was my mate, yes. But she was also the child I'd failed to save. The girl whose death had haunted me for 7 years. The victim of my father's cruelty. How did you court someone you'd watched die? You're avoiding me, Ren said one morning, finding me in the Alpha's office where I'd been hiding behind paperwork. I'm not... You are, she interrupted gently. You haven't been alone with me since the night I returned. You've been polite, helpful with the reforms, present at all the meetings. But you won't look me in the eye. Why? I set down the pen I'd been gripping too hard. Because every time I look at you, I see two people. The woman you are now, strong, divine, incredible. And the child you were, terrified, dying, calling for your mother while my father killed you. And I don't know how to reconcile those two images. I don't know how to be your mate when I failed so completely to be your protector. Ren was quiet for a moment. Then she walked around the desk and took my hands in hers. You were 15, she said. Your father was Alpha. You had no real power. You tried to stop it, I remember. You fought. You argued. You said goodbye to me when no one else cared enough to. That mattered, Derek. It still matters. But you still died. Yes, she agreed. I died. And it was terrible. But Derek, she squeezed my hands. If you'd somehow stopped it that night, you would have been exiled or killed. Your father would have found another orphan to sacrifice. The system wouldn't have changed. Sometimes, her voice softened. Sometimes we have to lose battles to win wars. You lost that battle. But because you lost it, because my death broke something in you, you became the kind of Alpha who can actually change things. The kind who values mercy over power. The kind who's perfect to rule beside a Luna Queen. I don't deserve you, I said quietly. Maybe not, she said with a small smile. But the goddess chose us for each other anyway. So we make it work. We heal together. We build something better than what our fathers left us. I'm afraid I'll fail you again. Then fail better this time, she said simply. Fail forward. Fail while trying, but don't fail by giving up before we even start. She was right. I knew she was right. But the guilt was still there, a weight I carried every day. Can I ask you something? I said. Anything. Do you forgive me for not saving you? Ren's expression softened. She reached up and cupped my face in her hands, making me meet her eyes. Those glowing blue eyes that held divine power and the memory of a child's terror in equal measure. There's nothing to forgive, she said. You did everything a 15-year-old boy could do. You tried. You cared. You mourned. And now, she smiled. Now you're giving me the chance to fix what's broken. That's all I ever wanted. Not revenge, not your suffering. Just change, just a better world. And you're helping me build that. I love you, I said. The words came out before I could stop them. I loved you when you were 10, and I was too young to understand what that meant. And I love you now, as my mate, as my Luna, as the strongest person I've ever known. I love you. Tears gathered in her eyes. I love you too. I think I always have. Even when I was just a child with a crush on the Alpha's son who was kind to me. Even when I died, my last thought was of you, that at least someone had cared. And now, she leaned forward, resting her forehead against mine. Now we get forever, as mates, as partners, as proof that death doesn't win, love does. I kissed her then, gentle, careful, still afraid I might somehow break her despite her divine power. But she kissed me back fiercely, and through the mate bond, I felt everything. Her love, her forgiveness, her absolute certainty that we were meant for this. When we finally broke apart, both breathless, she smiled. Better? She asked. Better, I agreed. Good. Because we have work to do. Clara wants to meet with us about the new orphan protection laws. And Elder Freya needs to be sentenced for her role in the false prophecy. And there are three other packs asking to meet the Luna Queen who came back from the dead. So, she stood, pulling me to my feet. Stop hiding in your office and come rule with me. Yes, Luna, I said with a small smile. Just Wren, she corrected. I'm still me, Derek. Still the girl who liked drawing in the dirt and hummed while she worked. Still the person you saw when everyone else looked through me. Don't forget that. Don't let the divine power or the title make you forget that I'm still just Wren. I won't, I promised. Never. And I meant it. She was divine. She was powerful. She was Luna Queen. But she was also just Wren, the girl I'd loved, the mate I'd mourned, the woman who'd come back to save everyone, including me. And I would spend the rest of my life making sure she knew she was valued, loved, seen, not because she had power, but because she was worth loving even when she'd been nobody.
Chapter 9. Clara's Story. Wren's POV. Clara found me in what had been the servants' quarters, the place where orphans and unwanted wolves had slept on the floor, gone hungry, been invisible. I'd ordered it converted into a proper dormitory. Real beds, warm blankets, enough food. Respect. Wren, Clara's voice was tentative. She was 19 now, 7 years older than when I'd died. Still Omega. Still kind, but harder than I remembered. Life had sharpened her edges. Clara, I smiled. It's good to see you. Is it really you? She moved closer, her eyes searching my face. I mean, I saw you at the assembly. Everyone's talking about it, but actually seeing you, talking to you. Her voice broke. You were dead. I helped prepare your body for burial. I saw the wound. How are you alive? The goddess brought me back, I said simply. Because what they did to me was wrong. And because she wanted to make sure it never happened to anyone else. Clara nodded slowly. Then suddenly she was hugging me, sobbing into my shoulder. I'm sorry, she choked out. I'm so sorry. I should have done something, said something. I was older. I should have protected you. But I was so scared. You were 12, I said gently, holding her. A child yourself. There was nothing you could have done. I could have said goodbye, she said. When they took you that night,
I pretended to be asleep. I heard you calling my name, and I pretended I didn't hear. Because I was afraid they'd take me instead. And I've hated myself for that every day since. I pulled back, looking at her tear-streaked face. Clara, you survived. That's what matters. You did what you had to do to stay alive. I don't blame you. I never blamed you. But you were so scared. And alone. And I... You were a scared child, too, I interrupted. That's what we all were. Children in a system that didn't value us. That's what I'm here to change. Not to punish the survivors for surviving, but to make sure no more children have to make those impossible choices. Clara wiped her eyes. Derek said you want to talk to me about orphan protection laws? Yes, you're still here. Still living in this pack. You know what it's like. What needs to change? I want your help designing laws that actually protect orphans. That make sure they're fed, educated, valued. That they can't be exploited for labor or, my voice caught, or sacrificed for convenience. I'll help, Clara said immediately. Whatever you need. I'll tell you everything. All the ways the system failed us. All the things that need to change. We spent the next 3 hours designing the foundation of what would become the Ashwood Laws, named after my mother, not me. Laws protecting orphans, ensuring they received education, prohibiting child labor before age 13, requiring PAC-funded housing and food, making exploitation punishable by exile. Laws that would have saved 10-year-old me if they'd existed 7 years ago. This is good, Clara said, reviewing our notes. Really good. But Ren, she hesitated. Some of the elders are going to fight this. They'll say it's too expensive. That orphans need to earn their keep. That, let them fight, I said. I have divine authority. They'll lose. But what about other packs? These laws only apply here. What about orphans in other territories? Then we expand, I said simply. We show other packs that valuing their vulnerable makes them stronger, not weaker. We lead by example. And if they refuse, I let divine light flare around my hands. I remind them that the Moon Goddess is watching, and she's not pleased with how wolves have been treating their own. Clara smiled. The first real smile I'd seen from her. You're going to change everything, aren't you? I'm going to try, I said. With help. With people like you and Derek and everyone else who remembers what it was like to be powerless. Together, we'll build something better. I believe you, Clara said. Then softer. I missed you. I know that's strange to say, but I did. You were the only other orphan close to my age. After they killed you, I was alone. And I've been alone ever since. You're not alone anymore, I said, pulling her into another hug. You're my friend. You're family. And you're going to help me build a pack where no one has to feel alone again. That night, Derek and I presented the Ashwood Laws to the Pack Council. Elder Freya, still awaiting sentencing for her role in the false prophecy, protested immediately. This is too much. The cost alone is negligible compared to the cost of my death, I interrupted. You killed me to save money and time. That stops now. These laws pass. Tonight. Anyone who votes against them can explain to the goddess why they believe orphans don't deserve to eat. The laws passed unanimously, and I knew. This was what the goddess had trained me for. Not grand battles or dramatic confrontations, but this. Small changes. Systematic reform. Building a world where children like me could survive. Where nobody could become somebody just by virtue of being alive. Where every life had value. It was slow work. Frustrating work. Work that would take years, maybe decades, to fully implement. But it was worth it. Because somewhere in this pack, there was probably another Wren. Another forgotten child. Another nobody waiting to be seen. And now, they would be. Chapter 10. Elder Freya's Judgment. 3 weeks after my return, it was time to pass judgment on Elder Freya. The pack gathered in the Great Hall again. But this time, it wasn't chaos. It was ceremony. Justice being served publicly, so everyone understood that actions had consequences. Even for elders. Even for those in power. Freya knelt before me, and for the first time since I'd known her, she looked small. Fragile? An old woman who'd made terrible choices and now had to face them. "Elder Freya," I said, my voice carrying through the hall. "You manufactured a false prophecy. You convinced Alpha Magnus that sacrificing me was necessary to break a curse that didn't exist. You prepared a child for ritual murder. You stood by while they killed me. These are your crimes. Do you dispute them?" "No," Freya said, her voice barely above a whisper. "I don't dispute them. Do you have anything to say in your defense?" She was quiet for a long moment. Then, "I was afraid. The pack was dying. Wolves were dropping one by one, and we didn't know why. Magnus was panicking. The pack was panicking. And I..." Her voice broke. "I wanted to fix it quickly. I wanted to be the one with answers. So when Magnus asked if sacrifice would work, I said yes. I convinced myself I'd had a vision. Convinced myself the goddess had told me it was necessary. But the truth..." Tears streamed down her weathered face. "The truth is, I was just a frightened old woman who took the easy path. Who sacrificed an innocent child because it was convenient. Because you were nobody. And I've lived with that guilt every day since." The hall was silent. "Your guilt doesn't undo what you did," I said quietly. "It doesn't bring back the childhood you stole from me. The life I should have had. The 7 years my mate spent mourning me. Your regret, while genuine, isn't enough." "I know," Freya said. "So do what you must. Kill me. Exile me. Whatever you deem just. I won't fight it. I deserve whatever punishment you choose." I looked at her. This old woman who'd destroyed my life with a lie. Who'd stood by and watched me die. Who'd convinced herself it was necessary. The goddess had taught me about justice versus revenge. About punishment serving a purpose beyond satisfaction. What purpose would Freya's death serve? "You won't die," I said finally. "And you won't be exiled. But you will serve. For the rest of your natural life, you will work in the orphanage we're building. You will care for the children this pack has forgotten. Feed them. Teach them. Show them the kindness you failed to show me. And every day, when you look at their faces, you'll remember that I was just like them. A child who deserved better. Your sentence is to ensure other children receive what I was denied. Do you accept this?" Freya looked up at me, shock written across her face. You're showing me mercy?" "I'm showing you purpose," I corrected. "Mercy would be letting you die with your guilt. This is harder. This is living with what you've done and working every day to make amends. This is looking at orphaned children and seeing me in their faces. This is the punishment the goddess would want. Not revenge, but redemption through service. I don't deserve your mercy." "No," I agreed. "You don't. But I'm giving it anyway. Because that's what makes me different from the system that killed me. I break cycles. I don't perpetuate them. Now stand. Go to the orphanage. Begin your service. And Elder Freya?" I held her gaze. "Thank me by never letting another child feel worthless. By fighting for them the way you failed to fight for me." Freya stood on shaking legs. "Thank you," she whispered. I'll spend every day. I know, I said. Go. After she left, Derek came to stand beside me. That was merciful, he said quietly. It was strategic, I corrected. She's old. She has maybe 10-15 years left. She'll spend them caring for orphans, teaching the pack that those children have value. Her redemption becomes the pack's education. And when she dies, she'll die having made amends. That serves everyone better than execution. You sound like the goddess, Derek said with a small smile. She taught me well. That night, alone in our chambers, we'd officially claimed each other as mates. Though we hadn't completed the bond yet, Derek asked me the question I knew was coming. Do you have nightmares? About that night? I was quiet for a moment, sitting by the window, looking at the moon. Yes. Every night. I dream about the altar, the rope, the knife, calling for my mother and knowing she wouldn't come, dying alone. I wake up and for a second I'm 10 years old again and terrified and... my voice broke. Derek pulled me into his arms. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not your fault, I said, but I clung to him anyway. Let myself be held. Let myself be vulnerable in a way I couldn't afford to be during the day, when everyone needed me to be strong. The goddess healed a lot, taught me to process the trauma. But some wounds don't fully heal. Some scars stay forever. Then we carry them together, Derek said. Your nightmares are my nightmares. Your pain is my pain. That's what mates do. I'm damaged, I whispered. Broken in ways I can't fix. Is that enough for you? Am I enough? He pulled back, making me look at him. Ren, you're not broken. You're a survivor. You took the worst thing that could happen and transformed it into purpose. You're healing an entire pack, reforming a system, building something beautiful from something terrible. You're not enough, he smiled. You're everything. I kissed him then, deep and desperate and full of 7 years of grief and longing and love that had survived death itself. And for the first time since I'd returned, I let myself believe that maybe, just maybe, I could be happy again. That the girl who'd died at 10 could grow into a woman who knew joy. That love could heal even the deepest wounds.
Chapter 11. The Mate Bond, Derek's POV. 6 months after Ren's return, we completed the mate bond. It wasn't planned. Wasn't a ceremony or formal declaration. Just one night, after a particularly difficult day of dealing with resistant council members, I found her crying in our chambers. What happened? I asked, immediately kneeling beside her. Nothing, she said, wiping her eyes furiously. Just, today is the anniversary. 7 years since they killed me. And I've been so busy with reforms and laws and being Luna Queen that I didn't process it. But tonight it all hit me. That 7 years ago today, I died terrified and alone. And no amount of divine power or Luna authority changes that. I still carry that death inside me. I pulled her close, and she broke. Really broke. Sobbing like the child she'd been, letting out 7 years of unprocessed trauma. I was so scared, she sobbed. I tried to be brave, but Derek, I was so scared. And it hurt so much. And I called for my mother, even though I knew she was dead. And I thought, she gasped for air. I thought nobody would remember me. That I'd just disappear, that I'd die and it wouldn't matter because I was nobody. You mattered, I said fiercely. You mattered then. You matter now. You matter to me, to Clara, to every orphan you're protecting, to everyone you're saving. You matter. I'm so tired, she whispered. Tired of being strong. Tired of being Luna Queen. Tired of carrying this wound. I want to be Ren. Just Ren. The girl who liked drawing in the dirt, who hummed while she worked, who wasn't defined by being murdered and resurrected. Then be her, I said. Right now, with me. You don't have to be the Luna Queen. You can just be Ren, my mate, the woman I love. Nothing more. She looked up at me with those glowing blue eyes, and I saw past the divine power to the girl underneath, the survivor, the wounded healer, my mate. I love you, she said. Not because you're alpha, not because we're supposed to be together, but because you see me, really see me. The broken parts, the scared parts, the parts that aren't divine or powerful. You see all of it and love me anyway. Always, I promised. Then claim me, she said. Complete the bond. Make me yours. Not Luna Queen to Alpha, just Ren to Derek, just us. I kissed her, deep and claiming, and felt the incomplete mate bond flare between us. We'd been holding back, both of us, afraid of rushing something so sacred. But we'd waited long enough. 7 years of separation, 6 months of dancing around each other. It was time. The bonding was intense, overwhelming. As our souls merged, I felt everything she felt. The terror of dying at 10, the loneliness of 7 years apart, the weight of divine responsibility, but also her love, her hope, her absolute certainty that we were meant for this. And she felt everything from me, the guilt of failing her, the 7 years of mourning, the desperate need to protect her, but also my love, my faith in her, my pride in everything she'd become. When it was complete, when the bond snapped fully into place, we lay tangled together, both crying and laughing. I feel whole, she whispered. For the first time since I died, I feel whole. Me too, I said. You're my heart, Ren. You always have been. That night, for the first time in 7 years, neither of us had nightmares. Because we weren't alone anymore. We were whole.
Chapter 12. 3 years later, Ren's POV. 3 years after my return, the pack was unrecognizable. The orphanage Elder Freya ran was thriving, 20 children living in warm beds, eating full meals, learning to read and write, learning that they mattered. The Ashwood laws had spread to 3 neighboring packs, with more considering adoption. Derek and I ruled together, not Alpha over Luna, but true partners. His strength and my wisdom balancing each other the way the goddess intended. And I was pregnant. 5 months along, carrying Derek's child. Our child. A baby who would grow up loved and wanted and valued. Everything I hadn't been. You're thinking too hard, Derek said, coming up behind me where I stood on our balcony, watching the sunset. His hand settled on my growing belly. I can feel it through the bond. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong, I said. I'm just thinking about this baby. About what kind of mother I'll be. You'll be an amazing mother. But what if I'm not? What if I'm so damaged by my own childhood that I can't... Ren. He turned me to face him. You've spent 3 years healing orphans, protecting the vulnerable, making sure no child feels worthless. You're going to bring that same fierce love to our baby. And more. You're going to raise them in a pack that values them. Where they don't have to earn love through usefulness. Where they can just be a child. I want that, I whispered. I want them to have everything I didn't. Safety,
love, a childhood. They will, Derek promised. We'll make sure of it, together. That night I dreamed of my mother for the first time in years. She was young and beautiful, the way I remembered her from before the rogues killed her. And she was smiling. You did it, little one, she said. You survived. You thrived. You broke the cycle. I'm so proud. I miss you, I told her. Every day. I know, but I'm here. I'm always here. Watching. Proud. Loving you from wherever souls go when bodies die. She touched my belly gently. And I'll watch over this baby, too. Your child will know both worlds, the mortal and the divine, just like you do, and they'll be extraordinary. I woke with tears on my face, but for the first time they weren't sad tears. They were healing tears, because I realized I'd made it. The frightened 10-year-old who died alone had become a woman who was loved, valued, powerful, who was building the world she'd needed as a child. Who was going to raise a baby in a pack where no child would ever be sacrificed for convenience. I'd won. Not through revenge, through healing, through change, through proving that nobody could become somebody just by refusing to stay silent.
Chapter 13. The Birth. Derek's POV. Our daughter was born on the first snow of winter, under a full moon. Wren labored for 12 hours, long and difficult, but nothing compared to what she'd already survived. And when our baby finally entered the world, screaming and healthy and perfect, I wept. She's beautiful, Wren breathed, cradling our daughter against her chest. Derek, she's perfect. What should we name her? I asked. Wren was quiet for a moment, looking at our daughter's face. Then, Ember. Ember? Because she's born from the ashes of what I was. Because she represents the future, bright and warm and full of possibility. Because, Wren's voice caught. Because the girl who died at 10 gets to raise a daughter who'll never know that kind of fear. That's everything. Ember Ashwood Knightbrook, I said, testing the name. It's perfect. We introduced her to the pack 3 days later. Hundreds of wolves gathered to meet their future Luna. And as I stood there, holding my daughter, watching Wren address our people with divine authority and hard-won wisdom, I thought about how far we'd come. 7 years ago, I'd watched the love of my life die on an altar. Now, we had a family, a future, a pack we'd reformed together. Death hadn't won. Love had. And our daughter would grow up in a world we'd made better, a world where orphans were protected, where the vulnerable mattered, where sacrifice was seen as the horror it truly was. A world Wren had built from the ashes of her own death.
Epilogue. 15 years later, Wren's POV. I was 32 years old when I stood on the sacred mountain for the first time since my death. 15 years since I'd returned. 18 years since they'd killed me. So much had changed. The altar was gone. We'd dismantled it stone by stone, replacing it with a memorial garden. Flowers bloomed where blood had once spilled. A fountain ran where they'd bound my wrists. And in the center, a statue. Not of me, I'd refuse that. But of a child. Any child. Every child. With an inscription. Here, innocence was sacrificed to convenient lies. Never again. Every life has value. Every child deserves protection. Remember what was lost. Build what was needed. Ember stood beside me, 12 years old now. tall and strong, with her father's dark hair and my glowing blue eyes. She'd inherited divine gifts, could heal with a touch, command with her voice, see truth and lies. But more importantly, she'd inherited kindness, compassion, the bone-deep understanding that power was meant to serve, not dominate. "Is this where it happened?" she asked quietly. "Where they killed you?" "Yes," I said. "Right here." I was 10 years old, terrified, alone. And I died thinking nobody would remember me. "But they do remember," Ember said. "Everyone remembers. We study it in history classes. The false sacrifice, the Luna Queen's return, the Ashwood Laws. You changed everything, Mama." "We changed everything," I corrected. "Your father and I, Clara, and Elder Freya. Every wolf who chose reform over tradition. It wasn't just me. It was all of us deciding that the old way was broken and building something better." "Do you still have nightmares?" Ember asked. "About dying?" "Sometimes," I admitted. "Not as often as I used to. But yes. Some wounds scar forever. The trick is learning to carry them without letting them define you." "I want to be like you," Ember said. "Strong and kind and powerful. I want to help people the way you do." I pulled her close. "You will. You already do. But Ember, don't try to be me. Be you. Take what I've taught you and make it yours. Build on what we've started. Make the world even better for your children than I made it for you." "I will," she promised. We stood there for a while, mother and daughter, looking at the place where death had tried to win. But love had won instead. The frightened 10-year-old who'd called for her mother while dying alone would be proud of who I'd become. The Luna Queen who'd returned from death to demand justice. The mother raising a daughter in a world where no child had to earn their right to exist. The mate who'd found healing through love. I'd been nobody. They'd tried to erase me, kill me, make me disappear. But the Moon Goddess had other plans. She'd brought me back, made me powerful, given me purpose. And I'd used that gift to ensure no other child would be sacrificed for convenience. That was my legacy. Not divine power, not Luna authority, but change. Real, lasting, generational change. The girl they killed at 10 had saved countless children by 32. And that was enough. That night, Derek and I lay together in our chambers, his hand resting on my belly where another child grew. Our second, a son we'd name Asher. "Are you happy?" he asked quietly. I thought about the question, about the 10-year-old who'd died terrified, about the 7 years of divine training, about the return and the reforms and the resistance and the victories, about Ember sleeping down the hall, safe and loved, about Asher growing inside me, about a pack that had learned to value every life, about the mate who'd mourned me for 7 years and now held me every night, keeping the nightmares at bay. "Yes," I said, "I'm happy. Finally, completely happy. Not because I don't carry scars, but because I've built something beautiful despite them. We've built something beautiful." "I love you," Derek whispered. "I love you too," I said. "Thank you for trying to save me 18 years ago, even though you failed, even though I died. Thank you for caring enough to try. That mattered more than you'll ever know. And thank you for coming back," he said, "for choosing me as your mate, for building this future with me, for..." His voice caught. "For letting me help heal you the way you healed everyone else." We fell asleep like that, wrapped around each other, whole and healing and home. And somewhere, I knew, the moon goddess was smiling, because the girl she'd saved had done exactly what she'd hoped. Changed the world. One orphan at a time. One law at a time. One heart at a time. Until nobody had to die to prove they mattered. Until everybody understood that worth wasn't earned. It was inherent. Divine. Unshakable. The girl they sacrificed at 10 had become the queen they needed. And that was enough. The end.